T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Kevin Zpac, Barry Rosner, Joe Ostrowski with you until noon this hour on The Score, brought to you by Horwitz & Horwitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. If we had done some hockey in the update, Paul Severino would have been interested because he is all things hockey. But today, and this time of year, he is all things baseball. Right now, let's go out to the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com, where we're joined by Paul Severino of the MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Severino MLB. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. And apparently NHL Network, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen you on the NHL Network. I know you're a hockey guy, and I would love to do that with you right now, except my partner, Joe Ostrowski, will get really mad at me because he doesn't like when I talk about hockey. Sorry about that.
You can't win them all. You know what I mean?
Yep, I do. speaking of not winning them all, the Kansas City Royals have lost 5 in a row. They looked like one of those teams that was going to make a run. They ran into the Dodgers. Now they've lost 2 straight coming out of the break. The narrative is that they're going to keep everybody and make one last run with this group. Do you believe they're going to hold on to all these guys?
Well, I mean, at this point, the problem is, and it's a, I guess it's a good problem to have, is that even though they're right around the 500 mark, a game under, they're 3 games out of the division. You know, so and the American League is so wide open. They're 3 games out of the division. They're 2.5 back in for the second wild card. So it's very difficult. I mean, and that's where it gets to, you know, the pay grade that I am well below of, like, you know, do we go for it for a one game scenario in the wild card? But then at the same time, where I started was with the division. Now, if they're able to win the division, if they're able to, you know, figure something out and win the Central, now they've guaranteed themselves a best of 5. So they're in a weird spot. It's a good spot to be in the sense that, you know, maybe they can make one more run with a team that's won a couple of pennants. And then at the same time, it's a lousy spot to be in because maybe it's only a one-game scenario, or maybe it's nothing if September doesn't go your way. And now you've held on to pieces that could really help to accelerate your turnaround. And they certainly have some pieces that other squads would want to have and at least entertain. So it's an interesting scenario. There's a lot of teams that are kind of in that boat where you're not sure if they're buyers or sellers or stand pat or what they're going to do, and it can affect, you know, not only the last 2.5 months of this season, but maybe the next few years as well.
Do you think they could re-sign any of those guys?
I'm going to almost answer that question and say they could probably sign one, but I'm not going to say which one because I don't know. I mean, it may not be a Hosmer just because it, you know, maybe just because it could be a little too rich for their blood. But, you know, at the same time, you know, they've got other guys out there that are going to be, you know, making some pretty good money too. So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what people that are much more expert in money and contracts and stuff like that and have said that, you know, if anything, it might be one, but I don't know which one it is. You know, it might be, because it could either be like the one guy you really want to sign, not that they, you know, wouldn't want any of those guys, but either like, you know, your priority number one or the one guy who would take what you have to offer, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I don't know what's in the coffers for them when it comes to free agent money and payroll and stuff like that, but I would, if I had to answer the question right now in a very roundabout, rambly sort of way, which I think I just did.
But you did it well.
Yeah, I would say...
You could be an insider.
Thank you. Yeah,
cover right. All your bases.
Right, and I'll just say sources. And no. Some of them are really good, like our Ken Rosenthal. He's solid. But no, I would say they would sign one. I just don't know which one it is.
Locally, we've been concentrating on the pitching market involving starting. And the other day, of course, the Cubs and Sox work out a deal for Quintana. And where's David Robertson going to go? He could be a big trade chip coming up in the next couple of weeks. But as far as position players, guys like Andrew McCutchen really turned it around this year, JD Martinez, do you see there being a market as we try to figure out who are buyers and sellers over the next couple of weeks? Because I haven't heard much chatter about position players at all.
Yeah, I think it just started to come out a little after the All-Star game itself that the Diamondbacks were pretty high on JD Martinez. I mean, he's a guy who is, you know, up at the end of the year. So he's, I mean, for me, and again, I don't run the Tigers, but he's as good as gone for me to try to, you know, start turning the page in Detroit. With McCutchen, he's got more years of control, and you know the Pirates, that's again, that's another interesting scenario. I mean, I'm going to venture to guess that their chances of a division are slim to none, and even maybe the wild card too, because they're 7 games out in the loss column in the wild card. But you know, it's a scenario where unless they really get bowled over with an offer for McCutchen, I don't know if it's a mid-season kind of move. I mean, it sounds like they attempted to figure something out with teams in the off season, but nothing really struck their fancy. And frankly, it's not like, because he still has years of control, it's not like he's going to be gone on October 1st and you get nothing for him. I mean, he could be back next year. So you've got whatever trade deals, you know, or offers are made this year in the next few weeks, and then you've got the whole off season, and then you have until, you know, next July 31st too. So you've got a lot of time to kind of get what you want if you're the Pirates. And you know, they're not a team, I'll use the Red Sox as an example just because that's the one that's in the headlines the last few days. The Pirates and a lot of teams cannot have a Pablo Sandoval type contract. You can't just pay a guy $50 million to not play for you anymore. Like, so that being said, teams like Kansas City, if they go out and they sign one of their free agents, they've got to make sure that's the right guy. For the Pirates, if they make a deal to trade away Andrew McCutchen, who is, you know, a superstar in this game on and off the field, they trade him away, they got to make sure they're getting something back. They can't make the mistakes that teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers can make. If that makes sense.
It does. They just can't buy their way out of it. If you were Houston, what would you do right now in terms of adding?
I think you still start with starting pitching. I know that Keuchel's got a rehab start tomorrow. And you know, they when healthy, those it's they're loaded, 1 and 2, with McCullers and Keuchel. And that's what we said going into the season. However far the Astros go, it's however far Keuchel and McCullers took them. Now,
is there a particular guy out there that you'd like?
Well, I mean, Quintana would have made sense because they're obviously a pretty young team, so to have somebody with some control would certainly make sense. You know, I don't know what the scenario is with Gerrit Cole. I know he's got some control that might be appealing from an Astros perspective. I don't know if that's going to be appealing from a Pirates perspective. It would obviously be the package, whatever might be going back. But yeah, I mean, you know, they don't strike me as a team that is, you know, strong farm system, good young core of team, of players on their team. They don't strike me as that rental type of trade deal. You know what I mean? Or a trade deadline deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how many teams are really into that anymore. You know, I mean, it's the Yankees made a name for themselves doing that back in the day, just trading away top farm system players for guys that were going to be, you know, in pinstripes for an hour and a half. They used to do that all the time. And now their farm system stunk for the longest time, and they've been able to fortify it with smarter kind of long-term idea type deals. So for the Astros, their window of winning is really just opening right now. So I don't know if they would mortgage the farm system or big pieces in the farm system just for a rental player. So I would probably guess that they would be going the controllable pitcher route.
Does it make sense for the Yankees to do something where they are at this point in their rebuild, where they're just absolutely stacked and they're going to have some decisions coming up in the future about the 40-man, but I don't know what does one starter do for this team? Does it put them in that World Series conversation?
Well, if you asked me that, you know, a month and a half ago, I'd say yeah. But right now, I mean, you know, Tanaka, who goes tonight, has been better. I think his last start was maybe not as good, but he had kind of figured things out, and it started with a start against Yu Darvish, and then he went three straight starts with a really solid ERA. I think it was like 1.29. I don't have the number in front of me, but I think he had like a 1.29 ERA over three starts. And so there's that, but then, you know, you get the news of Pineda, and now all of a sudden the Yankees, who are probably going to be in the market for a starting pitcher anyway, and that's with everybody being healthy, now you'd figure would certainly be in the mix for an arm. But again, the same thing I said about the Astros, I'll say about the Yankees, and I've asked Dan O'Dowd, our resident GM here, I said, what's your gut tell you? Are the Yankees kind of out of the business of making that rental trade? And he said absolutely. So again, I think if they would have moved and may still move a big piece of their farm system, and they've got a lot, but as long as it's for someone who's got years of team control. And that's why the Quintana would have made a lot of sense for a lot of different teams, just because it's an affordable contract, he's a solid pitcher, and he's got the years of control. So you know, that would have been probably the tip of the iceberg. And now you look at who else is out there, and Joel Sherman said this the other day, unless somebody really comes out as a huge surprise, Quintana might be the best pitcher moved this year.
He's Paul Severino from the MLB Network. Paul, if you'll buy my premise that as good as the Astros are, they are not a complete team because of their rotation, because of the possibility that, you know, with those top two guys, it could fall apart at any minute, given their health history. If you will buy that premise, then who do you think the team is that could make a run in the American League that is among these many, many wild card possibilities that is hovering around 500, that maybe makes a move, maybe gets hot, maybe makes a long run, because there's really no other dominant team outside of Houston?
So I can answer this question by saying Houston's the best team in the American League?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. So now who would be next after that? That's a terrific question. I mean, Cleveland is good. They have straightened things out. You know, they kind of had that same sort of World Series hangover that the Cubs had. It took them a little while to really find their stride, and, you know, five games over 500 right now, but, you know, Minnesota's right there, Kansas City's right there, so they're not necessarily a lock just yet. You know, Boston has looked good at times. I think if you look at it on paper, they're probably the best team in the American League East, but, you know, at the same time, and listen, this was the first run or blown save, or maybe even both, that Kimbrel's given up at home at Fenway Park. Something insane.
Ridiculous. Yeah, ridiculous run he was on.
So, yeah, so that's like a blip on the radar. I still think that he's on a very short list of lockdown closers in baseball. So I think if you looked at it on paper, Boston is probably in that mix in terms of, like, you know, could very well be a dominant team, but they've had an absolute black hole at third this year. I'd be curious to see what they do in these next couple of weeks to address that and try to solidify something there. You know, around the diamond, they're really good, and now it's just a matter of, to me, I mean, what is David Price really going to give you? You know, I mean, he's had the year in Boston to you know, as something of a freebie. You know, the Red Sox fans certainly don't want to hear that at $200 million. But, you know, you get your legs under you, figure out the city, figure out the media and everything else. And then, you know, right as I say that, there's the arm issue that he had. He missed some time, and now he's back, and now he's battling with the media again. And it's like,
it's always a good idea in Boston.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He should kind of know what you signed up for, you know. And I'm fully give all the credit in the world to the 750 players who are playing in the big leagues. They're doing something I couldn't even imagine doing. So I give all the credit in the world to those guys, and understand, too, that, you know, they are human beings. I said this on the air the other night. Like, you know, we crunch numbers so much that sometimes we forget that, you know, guys wake up with stiff necks and have arguments with their spouse, and sometimes they're not in the best moods every once in a while. Like, it's possible. You know, they're not they're not machines. They're in tip-top shape, and they get paid millions of dollars, but they're not machines. So I'll give David Price the benefit of the doubt for the first year, but how you handle the media and how that all kind of bleeds into the added pressure, and there's going to be pressure on him anyway in Boston. So what are you doing to alleviate that pressure? And for me, it's not how I would handle it, but again, I don't have a golden left arm. So I wouldn't handle it in a way of, you know, making it worse by infuriating a media and a fan base when I didn't exactly live up to expectations in the first year. But, again, long story long, I would say maybe Boston's that next team that could make a little bit of a run and could maybe threaten Houston once they get into a short series.
Probably a bad idea to go after a Hall of Famer that people love too, and Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah,
that whole thing was...
Some of it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But again, that's just me from the outside. I don't know.
Paul, my biggest takeaway from All-Star Week, with the home run derby with Aaron Judge, with the actual game, exciting play defensively, Bryce Harper, mic'd up in the outfield, so was George Springer. They added some really cool stuff. But my biggest takeaway is... the young guys have completely taken over this game, and it's pretty exciting times right now. And I was wondering for you, I'm sure there's a lot of people behind the scenes looking at different data because you have to talk about what's interesting. What do people actually care about? How can we hold viewers? Is Aaron Judge right now on a level of interest as far as baseball fans go above everyone else?
Yeah, probably. You know, if not, he's again he's on that short list of the Trouts and the Harpers and even right now Cody Bellinger's of the world, where it's like, you know, if you can in this day and age where you can pretty much see anybody's at bat as it's happening, he's a guy who you make time to see and don't get up for another bag of popcorn until he's done hitting. You know, it's interesting because with Aaron Judge, I've done the Arizona Fall League games for MLB Network since I've been here, so 6 years of it. And a few years back, we're in Arizona, and I'm up in the press box, and I'm doing getting my scorecard ready, and I just hear whack, 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 and I'm like, what is that? And like, there's studs at the Fall League every year, and I look down from behind home plate, and I'm like, why in God's name is Giancarlo Stanton here right now? Because from up there, the same kind of stance, same kind of body type, and obviously the sound off the bat, I'm like, what in the hell is happening right now? So I go down the field, and I happen to talk with the manager. The way it works there is there's everybody's from every different organization. So every organization sends six players, and there's six teams out there, and everybody kind of gets divvied up the way that it works. But I, once again, I ramble. So I talked to the manager of the team, and I said, listen, I don't have a scout's eye at all, but am I onto something that I see Giancarlo Stanton with this guy? And he said, yes. I said, really? He goes, yeah, he's just got an unbelievable power. And that was obviously before his struggles last year, and that's what leads me to believe that Judge might be around for the long haul. Like, we're already kind of on to Chapter 2 of Aaron Judge. You know, a first-round pick or 32nd overall supplemental, whatever it was, but an early pick for the Yankees, so you knew there was going to be high expectations. You know, body type, power, the whole nine yards, so you knew there's something there. And then when he came up last year and it was just strikeout after strikeout after strikeout, it was almost half of his at-bats. This year he's just a different player, and what leads me to believe that he might be good. I'm not saying he's on pace for like 57 home runs this year. I'm not saying he's going to hit 57 every year. But if he can hit 315 with 30 and 110 every year, which I think is realistic, if he could do that, he's a superstar. And so the point of it being is we're already on Chapter 2. He's already had his struggles. He's already made his adjustments. And it's still starting to work. And to your point of young players taking over the game, I also did the AAA All-Star game in Tacoma on Wednesday. And every year we get the first rosters come out like July 1st or something. And it's just it's loaded with guys in AAA that are big-time prospects and everything else. And then a couple of weeks go by and, you know, this guy tweaked an ankle and this guy tweaked an arm. And he's not going to be there because the team doesn't want him to go to the West Coast. And this guy's going to be in the Futures game and doesn't want to travel back and forth. And by the end of it, we're left with, unfortunately, not as many as we hoped for. This year we had 9 of the top 100 prospects in minor league baseball in that game. I think last year there were 4. The year before that there was 1. 4 the year before that. So the bottom line is Major League Baseball is loaded with young studs, and there's still a lot left at the minor league level too. So baseball's in a really, really good place right now in terms of young talent.
Paul, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Hope to catch up with you again sometime.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Paul Severino from the MLB Network. When we come back, we'll get back to your calls at 312-644-6767. You're welcome to join in the national conversation. Your thoughts on the Cubs and the White Sox. And Joe Ostrowski, I have a question for you about each team, which I will ask you when we come back right here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Kevin Zipak. Welcome back in on Hit and Run on The Score. Joe Ostrowski, Barry Rosner here with you until noon. We have been discussing all day, of course, the Cubs and White Sox trade of a few days ago. The implications, not just for this year, but for the years to come. A couple of things that happened last night, though, involving both teams, Joe, that I wanted to mention to you before we move on to some other things. Albert Almora with a very nice night offensively, facing a left-hander again. Every time he does, he hit a monster home run last night, too, by the way. Boy, it was lovely. If you want to see, if you want a demonstration of how you should hit a Major League Baseball, watch Albert Almora's home run last night. It was just lovely.
How many first-pitch home runs have they had the last two nights?
His balance, his aggression. I'm sorry?
Half of these home runs, they're attacking earlier in the count. It was interesting that even with the DH, Ben Zobrist didn't play. He decided to put John Jay out there to put him in leadoff. Even against the lefty, I don't understand why he won't put Almora against lefties in the leadoff spot. We've seen what he can do for the last year and a half. I don't get it.
Well, you're asking the wrong guy.
I know. Yep. I know. Just throwing it out there. That Zobrist is a guy that you really need the second half. He had a nice first game, and then we didn't see him in the lineup even when you have the DH. I didn't get that. And I know it's a crunch. We know that, but
could be a hell,
it's easier in the American League parks.
On Zobrist, I'm going to give Joe the benefit of the doubt on that one and assume that he's just trying to protect his health. I don't know, after one game back, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not buying that one.
Yeah, I just tried to sell it and didn't even buy it myself.
That's stupid.
Eddie Butler, what are you doing with Eddie Butler? What's the point of that? I mean, I know he's going to leave your rotation. I know that it's going to be Lester and Hendricks and Quintana and Arrieta and probably Lackey. But what is the point of Eddie Butler coming in the eighth inning last night in a 10-run game to throw an inning or, you know, an inning and two-thirds or whatever? I mean, what's the point of that?
Well, the night before, you gave up an 8-0 lead, and you had to go through some of your bullpen, so you didn't want to use much of your bullpen. So that's just a guy that can eat up that inning because you're not going to need Eddie Butler moving forward very much at all. But I think he's going to go to the bullpen. But then when Hendricks returns, he may not be needed in that bullpen because Montgomery should be going there.
Let me be more specific. Why is he here? I guess is my point.
I'm not a fan.
Because if this is a guy who could potentially start for you again, and I know it's been ugly, but it doesn't mean his career is over. It's not the way it works in baseball. But assuming you're going to want him to start for you, does having him pitch an inning in a blowout serve Eddie Butler any purpose at all? That's my question. Shouldn't he be back in the minor leagues starting?
It was just I think this is temporary, a week, and then Hendricks has the second rehab tomorrow. We talked about it a week ago that it would be quick after the 145 pitch rehab, so they decided he needed the second one. I'm expecting that if all goes well, that to be the last one, and then he would join the rotation maybe next weekend, and then that's when Butler goes down to start every fifth day in Iowa. Don't you expect that?
Okay, fair enough.
And Lackey is your fifth guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. And Montgomery back to the bullpen. Fine. Okay, I just don't think you should have a guy who's always been a starter and have him here to throw mop up. Yeah, I mean, I think you may need him again at some point, and he should be starting in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think they're just putting that off for a week.
Okay.
Who knows? Do you think they're going to add another starter? There's been conversation about Sonny Gray, and I don't know what they would trade.
Sonny Gray conversation is mostly Oakland putting it out there that the Cubs are interested in Sonny Gray. Do I think the Cubs have called Oakland about Sonny Gray? I think every team in baseball has called Oakland about Sonny Gray. Do I think the Cubs are giving up anything off their major league roster right now to get Sonny Gray? No. I think that's Oakland putting it out there to try to drive up the price.
Isn't that where we're at right now with the lack of prospects that you have now, that if you want something quality to that level that a lot of teams want, that you're going to have to give up something off the major league roster? And Theo went on again and again, they didn't have to give up anything. So why would you give up something off the major league roster to get something that is not as valuable as Quintana?
Right. This
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is part of a bigger conversation about what this year is, what you think this year is going to be, and what that means for you going forward, and what it means for this core going forward. And you and I have talked about this over and over and over again. They're not going to do anything to try to win this year if this team in the next 2 weeks doesn't give them a reason to think that you should do something to try to win this year. So off the major league roster at this point, absolutely not.
But with that said, by also adding Quintana, having him in the rotation the rest of the season, it's safe to assume that they're not going to sell anything off, right? Wade Davis?
Well, again, that you have 2 weeks left to make those decisions. And I think it's entirely possible if we're sitting here 2 weeks from today and they're 10 games out of the division or the wild card, then yeah, they're selling Wade Davis. They can always re-sign him after the season. And they're probably selling Arrieta if there's a decent amount of interest in him.
What if they're in this same spot, just toiling around 500?
No, then they're
five
not,
to six
they're
games
not
sell, back.
They're not selling anybody.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But they're also not buying rentals in order to do what? When you have no idea. No, you and I have had long conversations about this, and we got to get to a break, so we're not going to do it right now. But I think you know where I stand on that. You don't. This team hasn't given Theo Epstein a reason to do something to trade Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman.
No.
They have not given him that, and he's not going to do that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Stan and Bellwood, Mike on the northwest side, Frank, Bill, and George. We'll get to all of you next right here on Hit and Run on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on the Score. Joe Ostrowski, Barry Rosner with you until noon. Paul Konerko was in town and was in the booth last night with Jason Benetti and Steve Stone and was talking about the resurgence of Avi, I shouldn't say resurgence, the fine play, really for the first time, right, of Avi Garcia?
Yeah, his numbers have dipped a little bit before the injury, then after, but he's had a nice start to the second half so far.
This season for Avi Garcia, Paul Konerko talking about that last night.
When people get to know you, sometimes they get up there.
In his center base.
Speaking of a swing that holds up, you know, like his swing, whatever he's done between now and the last couple of years, I mean, he's gotten a lot better on, I mean, just watching these games, he's a lot better on fastballs. When you're a lot better on fastballs, he could always hit breaking balls and you know, spray those around. But when you can start taking that pitch out of the equation where I can hit that now, well, now your confidence grows. The person on the mound knows I can't go in certain places like I used to. His eye gets better. And so then you have what you have with him. It's his evolution as a hitter has been, with him, he's such a big, strong guy. You like wanted it to happen like a year or two ago because you're wondering, come on, let's go. You're such a big guy. Let's start driving some balls. Let's be the guy you should be. And now he is. But you watch the way that guy has kind of turned into a real professional hitter. It's hopefully now he can just not look back and run it out for the next 10 years.
I've talked hitting with Paul Konerko so many times over the years, and it's fun to discuss this. I think I've mentioned this to you before, Joe. When you get with somebody who loves their craft, truly loves their craft, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the business is, what the job is. When you get with someone who loves their craft and loves to break it down and talk about it, it's really an impressive thing to be around, especially with someone who's at the very top of their profession. And talking hitting with Konerko was always a joy. Jim Thome, same thing. I think he'd make a phenomenal hitting coach, more so than a manager or anything else. He's never going to do it. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not interested. I mean, he's going to spend the next 10 years with his kids, with his family, which he should after all the years of being away. He's a brilliant businessman. I wish he'd have bought the Phoenix Coyotes. Is it the Phoenix Coyotes or Arizona Coyotes?
You're asking me?
I don't know. But I wish he had bought. I mean, he should have put together a group. He loves hockey. But he'd be great at it. He'd be so unbelievably good at it. So would Jim Thome, by the way, who I have a feeling may, when his family is gives him the opportunity, might end up managing. I think he'd be really good at that. Anyway, Paul Konerko and Avi Garcia, do you believe, and this is really an unfair question to ask, do you believe the Avi Garcia that we've seen this year is the Avi Garcia, or based on 3.5 months, are you going to need to see another 2.5 months before you're buying?
Oh, I definitely need to see another 2.5 months before I'm buying.
I understand.
And I think he will stick around here through the trade deadline. They have to be happy and with what they've seen, of course. But I don't...
Will he be here
I don't
in,
know that there's a market.
Will he be here in 4 years when this team is the team you want it to be?
That's the question. Is it going to be 4 years? Is it going to be less? Could it be more?
This is year one. I mean, it is July, help me, 16th. We are 8 months in, less than 8 months into the rebuild.
Right.
Cubs won the World Series in year five, and they were probably a full year ahead of schedule at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
you got to the Final Four in year four,
which was a year ahead of schedule easily.
Right. So we're talking about 2020 at that same pace.
And that's if everything goes well.
Everything
went the Cubs' way.
Well,
everything.
Yeah, and you also have to look at some of the levels, and we'll talk about it at the top of the hour with Nick Hostetler. Some of the levels, they're going to come in waves. That's how it looks like it's going to end up working out. You have some single, double, and also triple A, and we're going to see Moncada at
they're
some
They're not
point.
Smart enough to have planned it that way. Are they? Is that possible?
Yes.
Where you go, all right, well, we want some of them coming in 20... We want some of them coming in 2018, some in 20. I mean, you want to stagger them so you don't lose.
Do you want to be the Royals where you're losing everybody at the same time? That's going to be the Yankee situation.
Maybe they are
eventually.
Smart enough to have done that. Let's go back to the phones, and it's Stan in Bellwood. Hey, Stan, how you doing?
I'm here. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Oh, my pleasure. A great time for baseball right now. Great time for baseball in Chicago. Hey, you guys piqued my interest with your conversation just before you went into the break, talking about Theo Epstein and what decisions he will or will not make over the next couple of weeks, depending on how the Cubs perform. And I think that there's an added wrinkle here with the way that the Rockies and Diamondbacks are playing. I mean, you know, if they keep going like they're going, then, you know, that could force Theo's hand too. The wild card could still be in play. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Barry. The Rockies are still on pace to win 91 games. I don't know if you think that either the Cubs or Brewers can win 90 games this year, but the Rockies, their young pitching, this is the second time around the league in the last 3 weeks. Their young pitchers that were so good the first couple of months of the season have gotten hammered repeatedly and soundly over the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
And
it was to be expected, right? I mean,
I kept
asking the question. Everybody kept telling me, no, they're going to be fine, and now it's happening.
Right. And the Diamondbacks, continue their rotation. Their starting rotation has actually been very good this year, and they continually hand a lead over to their bullpen night after night, only to have their bullpen flush those wins down the toilet. The Dodgers have blown that division completely open. Those three teams a month ago were right there together within 3 or 4 games, and the National League looked, with the exception of the Central, looked pretty much to be locked up. But I'm going to be watching to see what the Rockies and the Diamondbacks do. I mean, I can't believe that the Diamondbacks have not done anything up until now to fortify that bullpen. They need to be in that mix for Zach Britton. I guess Zach Britton, the Orioles are going to hold somebody up here because their phone is ringing off the hook. But the Diamondbacks should be out in front of everybody, and the Rockies should be out there trying to get a veteran presence in that starting rotation, one or two guys.
I love the idea, right, Stan. Stan, I love the idea of the Dodgers getting Zach Britton. I love that idea.
Well, it would be all over then. You could kiss the baby then. if they added Zach Britton and Jansen in that bullpen. I mean, they're already head and shoulders the best team in baseball, but that would just about do it. But the only way the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are going to have a chance is if the Rockies upgrade their starting rotation, and if the Diamondbacks vastly upgrade their bullpen. I mean, I think the Cubs are still alive in the wild card, and I think adding Quintana helps them for this year. I think that that trade shows that, you know, they're concentrating on that, and that the way that the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are playing could force Theo's hand for, making moves here in the next couple weeks.
Thanks for your call, Stan. No, I agree. He's going to help him this year. While the trade is made mostly for the next 3 years, he will help him this year. The question is, do you do something to put yourself in a coin flip game when you don't have Jake Arrieta, who's on this historical run where he's simply unbeatable, untouchable, and sometimes literally unhittable? And I think the answer is no, is that you don't.
I agree.
Is you don't pay a healthy price with something off, something from your core to get into a coin flip game.
With an erratic offense against likely one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in Greinke, too. What is Rizzo going to do? So much of this, that is the story the next 2 weeks to me. What are the Nationals going to do? How many moves are they going to make?
Well, the rumor is Doolittle and Madsen from the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough.
Nope.
That's not only do they need three arms, but they need a major arm. I mean,
are they willing to give up a top three prospect at this point?
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. You have a chance to win the World Series, and right now your team knows that when they get to the seventh inning, they're going to lose the game if they're not up 10. Yesterday they were up 10, and what was the final, 10-7?
I mean, it's
a nightmare. And if you don't think that affects you as a player, then you don't understand that these are human beings playing this game. They know by the sixth, seventh inning, they start turning around, kicking the dirt, and looking to see who's out there, who's warming up today.
And then if they don't go make a big move, then they're going to take a look at the front office and say, oh, okay, so you don't think that we can beat the Dodgers, because that's the message you would send.
The problem is it's on ownership. Ownership is what continually forces Mike Rizzo to do the things that he does, and that's why he has to make the deals that he does. Mike on the Northwest side, let's get you in before the top of the hour. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
And following Stan, that's a tough hurdle.
That's right. I'm sure you're up to it.
Well, I a couple of things. First off, John Jay was hitting like 750 off of Miley, and that's why Jay started last night.
Yeah, that was a very small sample. I mean, eight at-bats or whatever it was.
No, but nevertheless, I mean,
is this Maddox boy, by the way?
I would never go by that moniker.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Except that I always do. But anyway.
Thought I knew the voice.
Yeah. But the big thing is, he is a mad scientist, but there is a method behind his madness. But I actually had a question for you, and that was, if the Cubs had been, say, a game up on the Brewers at this point, don't they still make that trade for Quintana?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
The trade for Quintana, again, is absolutely a long-term deal for the Cubs. It's for...
Do they strike at that time? I think that's a fair question.
Absolutely. The opportunity, you mean to get Quintana for the long-term health of this core? Absolutely.
Yeah.
When was there going to be? I mean, he's going to be gone in the next 2 weeks.
Right.
Was there a better? You needed for certain minimum two starting pitchers moving forward. Minimum.
But you also wanted as many starts as possible. You are in a more desperate situation now than if you were up a game. But I still believe he was their number one target either way.
Oh, yeah. No, the opportunity to get this guy for the future, no question about it. I mean, it's because it's gone. After in 2 weeks, it's gone. And it sounded like it wouldn't have been 2 weeks. It sounded like it might have been a matter of days. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Nick Hostetler, scouting director for the Chicago White Sox, right here on Hit and Run on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.